This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know. Hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, missing somewhere in China, what has become of the giant rubber duck? We have an update. Intimacy and romance for a man with ED? It's possible, says one of our guests. And we go behind the scenes with the popular reality show Naked and Afraid. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is on assignment. He's got the news in a stranglehold, baby. It's Jay Campidonia.
Love him or hate him, self-proclaimed gun nut Ted Nugent is using his guns for good. I'll tell you what he's doing coming up.
Ready for a little cosplay? It's Chris Martin.
Phil, the largest collection of comic enthusiasts in the world are set to assemble in downtown San Diego in just a couple of days. Is the city prepared for the mayhem?
I certainly hope so, because mayhem with a capital M is what they are in for with Comic-Con every year. I love when all the people show up in their character outfits, especially the bad ones.
Yeah.
You know, really poorly made.
They're like, already dressing up, too.
Oh, yeah. You know. It's a couple days away. They're getting the costumes on.
The Spider-Man costume, but it's just red sweats and a Sharpie?
Yes, exactly.
Ah, and the red ski mask.
All right. Let's get things started here. You brought up the Nuge, Ted Nugent. And what's he doing, Jay?
Well, we all know who he is, right? Cat Scratch Fever, that's the big hit that he had back in what? Before I was born?
Before you were born.
Okay, I just want to make that clear.
That's why you don't know that he had a bunch of other hits, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
It's quite all right.
Well, he is a self-proclaimed gun nut, and we all know that. He goes on the conservative talk shows and just pushes for the Second Amendment. Everybody should have guns, and the more the merrier, right? So he catches a lot of flack, and a lot of people have that visceral reaction towards him. You either love him because he's a rocker and a gun nut, and, you know, he used to party and all that other thing, and then you either hate him because he wants everybody to have guns, and the more guns, the merrier. Well, did you know this? Story behind the story here, Phil. He has a program called Hunters for the Hungry.
What's that about?
Every year, they donate about 250 million hot meals to the poor and the needy.
250 million a year?
250 million a year. So basically, there are these little Hunters for the Hungry stations set up across the country. And they go out, they hunt, and they take their kill, either part of it or all of it, whatever you'd like to do, and then they donate it to the local homeless shelter.
Yeah.
So then the homeless shelter,
the soup kitchen, cuts up the meat.
Right.
Makes some soup out of it or whatever.
Makes everybody wins.
A meal?
250 million a year.
Wow.
The hunter gets the thrill of the hunt, and
so now visceral reacting people, how do you feel about Ted Nugent?
You know, it's just kind of one of those things where, and of course, all the conservative websites out there are like, oh, the media has swept this under the rug, but look what a great guy he is. You're still, if you don't like guns, you just don't
like
guns.
I understand.
But at least he's donating some of the prize, some of the kill to a great cause.
Yeah.
Phil, does Ted Nugent belong on the list of greatest guitarists to ever live? Because I hear that at times, that whatever his nickname was, the Wild Man, or that he could really, really wail away on a guitar.
One of the greatest rock and roll arena rock showmen of the 1970s. Okay. I'd give him that. Is that fair to say? Mike Stark, music aficionado back there?
He's with me
as executive producer.
So good for Uncle Ted. We like that.
Yeah. All right. Funny guy, too.
Oh, yeah. I've heard some of his interviews.
All right. But the more I talk about him, the more you hate me if you don't like Ted Nugent, right? So I'm getting off the Ted Nugent boat right now before you start disliking me. You have an update for us, Jay, on this woman who's been missing for some time in the 29 Palms area.
Get to know this name, Erin Corwin. Erin Corwin. She's still missing, but some details are coming out, and they're going to get a little confusing, so stick with me. Now, Erin had been 19 years old and 3 months pregnant when she went missing about a month ago. She's from the 29 Palms area, which is just outside of Joshua Tree. Well, investigators believe that she was having an affair with her neighbor. Now, this guy goes by the name of Chris Lee. He was arrested over the 4th of July weekend because he had a potato gun and then since made bail. Now, they called it a destructive device. It's kind of one of those things.
Does it shoot potatoes?
I'm sure it shoots a lot of things. Rocks, whatever you want to put
in
there.
But the potato is the projectile.
Correct.
Ah.
And a lot of times, if they suspect something, they will not really trump up charges, but officers have been known to detain you on a separate charge just so they can start asking some questions.
Okay.
Well, here's the kicker. Chris apparently wanted to celebrate the fact that Erin was pregnant and then wanted to take her out on a hunting trip right around the time that she went missing.
Person of interest.
Person of interest. Now, Chris has allegedly told cops that he and Erin were not having an affair, but everybody suspects it, but they did kiss. They did kiss.
Ooh.
Now, Chris's wife.
Yes.
This is where it gets troubling. Chris's wife told the owner of a horse ranch where Chris and Erin had been volunteering that she knew about the affair and that cops would never find the body. Her disappearance has been classified as suspicious, but cops can't find a crime scene.
I'm keeping notes, and I'm still kind of falling off of the trail here. I'm losing it.
Yeah,
it's a complicated story.
It really is.
But the bottom line is that this young lady, what's her name again?
Erin Corwin.
Erin Corwin is still missing.
Yes,
she's
3 months pregnant.
Not presumed dead.
Not yet.
And there are plenty of people to talk to.
There really are. They're trying to talk to everybody. And the thing is here is that if there was an affair and there was a hunting trip, her parents have reportedly told some rag, I think the Mail UK or something like that, the Daily Mail, that they fear she's dead and she was shot on the hunting trip.
They're out here and the folks in England get to read the interview.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
That makes sense.
So we'll stick with this story. It's a sad story, but no confirmation of anything yet.
All right. One other sad thing that happens sometimes, you're just doing your thing and you don't realize it, but you're just being annoying. And and you have a story that falls under that heading.
That's very true. Jim Farrell is 97 years old. And he loves to play the ukulele.
Really?
The ukulele.
I want to see that.
I would love to see that as well. Now, this comes to from Napa. That's where he's in Northern California, right?
Okay, yeah.
He's in a retirement home, and he loves to play the ukulele. And management, he says, continually suppressed his talents. Told him to stop playing, go back to your room. He said he was treated like a child. He was finally asked to leave. He was kicked out because he was playing the ukulele.
Kicked out of the home.
Kicked out of the home, and he had to move into a homeless shelter. Local residents found out about it because one of the local papers picked up the story, started making donations. One picked up the moving expenses. One paid his first month's rent, and he's now in a higher scale nursing home that allows him to play the ukulele all he wants.
Do they appreciate his music?
They do.
I'm just wondering if he's any good at it.
Well,
that's the thing.
Give it some time because I can take a ukulele for about a day, maybe, and then that's about it. So we'll give him some time.
There's only one ukulele song, right? It's that Brother Is song, you know?
Oh, Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Yeah, exactly. That's the only ukulele song, isn't it?
Didn't Elvis play one in Blue Hawaii?
He may have.
I'm pretty sure he did.
But who knew?
So good for him. Now he's got a home and he's got a roof over his
head.
That
movie was before Ted Nugent. How do you even know about it?
You know what? My parents sat me down and made me watch it one day.
Really?
I'm like, what the heck am I watching? What kind of shorts are those? Who wears those shorts?
It's part of your upbringing, son. You got to watch this.
Yeah.
And this is where it all pays off, right here in the radio studio.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, another thing that is strange out there, people dress up in crazy outfits down in San Diego, and it starts this Thursday. It's something that's called Comic-Con. I went to one of the first Comic-Cons. And they had a couple of tables out with some comic books on it, and a couple of geeks were out there trading it, you know. And just,
right, and William Shatner was standing behind one of the tables signing autographs.
He wasn't even there. Nobody was there. But it's grown to something that is too big for San Diego, but they keep going back. And what's happening this time around? You have a kind of an umbrella look at it, right, Chris?
Yeah, looking at it from an aerial view. First of all, interactive is the buzzword for this year's Comic-Con, which is apparently is the next big thing in not just comics, but just entertainment in general. It's getting very interactive with it. So, like you said, Phil, it starts on Thursday. It's a four-day event. And San Diego realized a few years ago they were running out of space, so they've been working with the San Diego mayor. This year, they're expected over the four-day event to have 130,000 people show up in the San Diego area, downtown San Diego. They're going to bring $166 million worth of spending cash, and a bunch of tax revenue is going to come into the city. But some of the things that they're doing is they're expanding exactly where people are going to be going. So it's from the convention center to the local hotels, all the way to Petco Field where the Padres play. And they're going to have a zip line out there. They're going to have a zip line from the Hilton Bayfront Hotel over
So you can really play superhero?
Center. I got to do that.
Okay.
130 feet they're going to be going on the zip line. They're promoting this new Fox series, Gotham, which ties into Batman. And Uber actually is going to be giving a bunch of people rides around there because I'm sure it just like anywhere else, it's not safe to drink and drive. But their cars are going to be specially designed to be Gotham police cars. So that should be pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Petco Park's going to be turned into a virtual reality zone known as Sleepy Hollow, which they're going to do an Oculus Rift thing, which I think is where you put on the glasses.
Are there any limited edition things that we might see there?
There's some limited edition toys. They're going to be doing limited edition toys, which Mattel and Hot Wheels and all these toy manufacturers are stoked about because they say when they make toys for this event, they don't have to worry about overhead or expenses or anything like that because they're making such a small amount of them. So,
you know, that's funny. I saw on Facebook the other day, a buddy asked, hey, anybody going to Comic-Con? There's this new doll that's out. Somebody can you pick me up one? Because he can't get down there.
Yeah.
It's like some new, it's not like a Barbie, but it's, I don't know, some fancy Barbie, I guess.
You know what they did make? Mattel made a life-size Darth Vader Batmobile limited edition.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to be on display out there. The thing is awesome.
We have a picture of it.
Oh, yeah, you got to see
it. On the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. So go take a look at
it.
That is some kind of, and there are only a few of those, right?
Dude, cartoon freaks are cartoon freaks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They go down there, they're freaky.
Yeah. Well,
they probably need to get out of their mom's basement every once in a while.
Yesterday, guys, and Jay, you weren't here, but we made a big deal out of this. Yesterday, that famous giant rubber duck that's going to be out here in the Los Angeles harbor.
Oh, yeah. I've seen pictures of that. Yeah.
It went missing in China.
What?
And it's supposed to be here next month for the Tall Ships Festival in the LA harbor. And we have a very important update on the duck. Next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980 every weekday afternoon at 2. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is on assignment. Jay Cappadonia and Chris Martin are here. It's the Friends. Hey, that famous giant rubber duck, six stories high, it was part of some festival in China, sitting in a river during monsoonal rains. The townsfolk went to bed at night. When they woke up in the morning, found out the storm blew the duck away, and it's lost somewhere in China. It's six stories high.
That's not true.
It is true.
Very true.
And I'm pretty sure, I'm not absolutely sure, but I'm pretty sure that duck is supposed to be in the L.A. Harbor next month for the Tall Ships Festival. So let's find out what exactly is happening. Craig Samborski is the executive producer of the Tall Ships Festival, which happens August 20th through 24th. And he's on the line with us right now. Craig, thanks. The duck is missing. What are you going to do?
Well, that particular duck is missing. I happen to have another duck that looks just like it, but it's a little bit bigger, and it's under 24/7 security right now.
How is that possible that you have another duck? I thought that was the famous giant duck.
Well, it's a little bit of a racket. The artist, Florentine Hoffman, has, I guess, pretty much sort of franchised the duck. So when you work with Florentine and get his drawings and designs, basically you build your own duck. So they built their own duck in China. They built one in Pittsburgh, which is, I think, the only other appearance it's made in North America. And then I am building my own duck with Florentine's plans.
Oh, so you have the blueprint, and you're building it. And will it be built on time, sir?
It is. Yeah, it's very close to being done right now. In fact, the Big Duck's baby duck will be starting to make its appearances in L.A. Starting on August 7th. And that little duck's about 10 feet high, and that little duck's going to be all over the city promoting the Big Duck being at the port on August 20th.
So what are you making this thing out of, duct tape?
Quack.
No, really, like, what is it made out of?
It's made out of very heavy-duty vinyl, I can tell you that. And there's a very large platform that the duck sits on, so it's actually being constructed in two pieces.
And it does float in the water, so it kind of barges around, and there's no way, even with a monsoon, that we're going to lose it out here.
Not our duck, no. I don't know how you lose a six-story high duck, but I know I'm not going to lose my duck.
All right, very good. So we're going to see you. We're going to talk to you some more as we get closer to August because we're excited about the Tall Ships Festival, and I know KFWB is going to be promoting it as well. And we look forward to seeing that enormous giant duck. And boy, are we so relieved that the duck is not missing and is not going to miss the Tall Ships Festival. This is such great news.
Well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thank you for providing the exclusive. There he is, the executive producer of the Tall Ships Festival, August 20th through 24th in the LA Harbor. That's Craig Samborski. Wow. Aren't you relieved, guys?
Yes.
I wonder how you avoid not building it a little bit bigger.
He said he is. He's making it a little bigger.
Is he?
Yeah.
Good.
His is a little bigger. And duct tape, Jay. Shame on you.
That was a good one.
I thought it was funny.
Good.
Thank you.
Good for nothing.
Well, speaking of big, you hear about this woman? Her name is Amazon Amanda.
Okay.
This can't
she
be good.
She is 6'3".
Yeah.
280 pounds.
What's her job?
Oh.
That's a big woman.
She has a job, does she?
The wrestler.
There is a new fetish running around town where you can hire this woman to sit on you.
Oh. Fully clothed?
Fully clothed. No sex involved.
Just sitting.
She comes over, she straps you in a chair, and she sits on top of you.
What?
And that's all she does.
She just sits on you.
Yes.
Is it to help, like, get the tension out of your back and maybe...
I have no idea. I don't want to know. But she recently tweeted out that one of her quote-unquote clients made a bit too much noise and started to move around a bit. So she literally had to use belts and strap this guy to a bench, and then she just started sitting on him. And apparently this is good for the guy.
I don't know how, and I don't think I want to know how.
I don't know
why.
Either. But it's guys who are around 5 feet who want to be crushed by this woman.
This is just a strange fetish, isn't it? Okay.
Sure is.
The world is crumbling, Phil.
But you know what?
I don't get it. What's her number?
Stop it. All right. What I do get, though, is one of the longest-running television shows, if not the longest-running television show ever, and this is The Simpsons. And something special, Chris, is happening with The Simpsons. Tell us about that.
Well, FXX has purchased The Simpsons, FXX being the other X added on to the FX company or FX channel.
Okay, good.
But they're going to be airing the longest marathon in television history. After purchasing the rights to The Simpsons from August 21st to September 1st, they're going to be running a mega marathon. They're going to air all 25 seasons, 552 episodes in chronological order.
Back to back to back to back to back. Stop me.
And
to back,
keep on
to back,
going.
To back.
Keep on going. You have
back,
like
to back, to back.
10 days of back to backs of The Simpsons.
Nonstop, 24/7.
Yeah, they're going to also air The Simpsons movie chronologically. So it'll be after the 400th episode, they'll sneak in The Simpsons movie as well. But they're not stopping there because FX Now is creating an app and SimpsonsWorld.com in October, so you can have instant on-demand access to every single episode online.
People love The Simpsons, don't they?
They really do. There's a guy in New Zealand who actually has set a world record for having the most Homer Simpson tattoos.
You've got all the freaks today.
He has tattooed his body 41 Homer Simpson tattoos, and the guy's only 27 years old.
So he's still got a long ways to go.
Guinness World Record, yes. He doesn't say if he wants to move on to Bart or Lisa or any of the other characters, Marge, but he does like his Ned Flanders, who was the huddly doodly.
Oh, so it's not just a bunch of Homer Simpsons all over his body.
It is. He set the world record for the most Homer Simpson tattoos.
But he's got all these others.
But he's got a few of the other characters, but he's not sure if he wants to start breaking those records.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look this guy up.
Yeah. All right. Okay. While we're on the subject of weird, this, all right. I know it's not a respectable and accepted source when you're turning in your homework in school, but just the same, This is from Wikipedia, so it's got to be almost true. There are at least 22 children in the United States whose parents named them ESPN.
No.
Hmm. Yeah.
How do you spell that?
ESPN. Hmm. Or do they call them ESPN? Where's the inspiration?
I'm kind of psychic. I have a fifth sense. What do you mean? It's like I have ESPN or something.
I use that joke regularly.
Do you?
What movie is that from?
That's Mean Girls.
Ah, ESPN. What a joke. Why would you name your child something as ridiculous as that? Why?
22. Don't disparage the choice of the parents of America.
I'm not really disparaging, but I'm saying you're ruining that child's life. Every time he walks into a room, somebody's going to be like, da-da-dun, da-da-dun.
Hey, one more sports story, Chris, if you could do it quickly.
Yes,
I
can.
Out of China.
Yeah. Young man has now signed a $1.2 million contract with the China Basketball Association. He's only 19, 6'5" guard. He had some eligibility issues making his freshman year into college, so he decided to sign a contract overseas. Might be starting a precedent.
Eligibility? Not good grades?
Yeah, that would probably be it. Probably. Placement testing.
Watches too much Simpsons.
Right.
Something like that. Okay, I'm just going to come out and ask this. There's no other way to do this. Can erectile dysfunction be a good thing?
No.
I told you I was going to ask it. You'll meet a man who says yes next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. And if you ever miss a single show, we have every single show available for you to listen on demand. Download it. PhilHewlettAndFriends.com is the website. And also, there's something new there. We're curious to know, for those of you who do listen to the podcast version of this program, what state you listen from. And so we have a little poll. If you look at the top right of the website, it'll say, take the poll. Click on that button and select your state, and we just like the little bit of information. See if your state wins.
Did you bring up the poll because we're going to talk ED?
Everything here is carefully crafted.
You're very good.
To follow a stream of thought.
You're very good, Phil.
Yeah. The reason we bring this up is because speaker, author Michael Russer is on the line with us right now. His book is called Hardly Broken. I'm not sure if it's out yet, but just think for a second on the name of that book as we talk to him. Michael, thank you very much for being on with us. You're going to tell us that erectile dysfunction turned out to be a good thing for you. But before you support that concept, and I can't wait to hear how you do that.
Yeah, really.
Tell us the backstory, please.
Well, the backstory was that about 3 years ago, by the way, excellent segue, whoever said that.
Excellent radio voice, by the way.
Yes, thank you. About 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer 2 months after I ended a 26-year marriage, where a typical baby boomer marriage fell, that the last 11 years were celibate. I threw myself into my work. My wife threw herself into raising the kids. And so 2 months after that divorce, I end up with prostate cancer. And in my family, cancer's usually deadly. So we had it removed immediately. And then I had to go through radiation. And as a result of all those treatments, it's not uncommon that men will, suffer from erectile dysfunction in one form or another. For my case, it's absolutely clinically permanent. And so, to put it mildly, I can't get it up to save my life. Let's just put it that way.
All right.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've obviously been through a lot. We all have to deal with the cards that were dealt, right? But still, right. How in the world can ED be a good thing?
Well, it ended up, and I don't say this lightly or with any kind of sense of flippancy, it is and has been and continues to be the absolutely best thing that's ever happened to my and my partner's intimate life. Because as a result of that, I ended up slowing way down for her. I don't have the same urge that all men have when they get hard to like use it now. And as a result, I'm able to, let's just say, match her response profile. And the the outcome of that is beyond what most people even think is humanly possible.
So what kind of intimacy are you talking about exactly? And remember, we're on the radio. We don't want to cross any lines here.
Okay, no, I understand.
Thank you.
I've actually done NPR, and they didn't kick me off.
Their line is a little bit lower than ours, I think.
Well, we're talking about a minimum of 2 to 4 hours of lovemaking per session. We have more energy after we're done than when we start. And she's postmenopausal, and so suffered from dryness and all kinds of the same kinds of problems that most women have when they're postmenopausal. But as a result of my slowing down and being very present and not worrying about performance, because that word doesn't enter into the equation, obviously, she is able to have an intimate experience that goes beyond what most people think is possible. So a typical average is 7 to 9 climaxes for her per session.
Wow.
Occasionally, 13 times.
I'm atta boy.
I'm going to have to flip all the cards and reveal that this is all a hoax. No.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like some Karma Sutra stuff going on here.
Yeah. I mean, normally this would be a huge relationship killer.
It normally would be and is, as a matter of fact. It is one of the most devastating things that can happen to a relationship, because the way our culture dictates how we define ourselves as men. But I'm here to say that for all the men out there that are affected by this, it's just a choice. I chose instead to, first of all, accept the condition. And that's crucial, that you get to the point of accepting the isness of it. And then allow that to be the gateway for something that is far greater than we even thought was possible. And by the way, I'm not unique. My partner and I, our experience is not unique. Fully 15% of couples who experience severe erectile dysfunction end up having far greater emotional and physical intimacy than they had before.
See, I thought it was unique. And so you know this how? Is there a support
This is based on actual research, scientifically done surveys.
Well, you know, this is inspiring, because there's a large percentage of men who will have to deal with this either because of surgery, cancer surgery or otherwise, or just it happens naturally or chemically for whatever reason.
And diabetes is a big one, by the way. That's
right.
Another big one.
Yeah, and so you give all of these men hope, and you have this new book that's called Hardly Broken. Is that out yet?
No, it's going to be coming out in 2015.
All right.
And so now I'm on the speaking circuit. I'm interviewed usually several times a week. I'm published in the Huffington Post, and I'm doing a TEDx talk for the University of Nevada in Reno in 2015.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you giving us a little preview of what's to come from the book, and continued good luck and success to you on the speaking trail, and just something that it was counterintuitive that until he came on the air, we had no idea that this would be the case. But there he is, Michael Russer, R-U-S-S-E-R, and the book, when it does come out, we'll put it in the store. It's not available yet at philhewlettandfriends.com. So, guys, there you go. There's hope for both of you.
Sounds like a cop-out.
Does it?
A little bit. I mean, as a man, you want to please your woman. You want to perform.
It sounds to me like he's pleasing his woman. What did he say? Seven times?
Yeah.
But he's not doing it. What do they have? I mean,
I don't know.
Marital AIDS?
No, come on.
Hard to imagine a guy
intimacy.
With a voice like that.
Intimacy.
Yeah, right. He could speak in her ear softly, and then that's
right.
Isn't that right?
Hey, baby.
He has to have done radio in the past.
No, maybe so. All right, so let's see. It's just one of those strange days. And Jay, you have one more story here for you, and this has to do with, you know, you never want to upset the room service or the help at the hotel, do you?
Never, ever. Like, especially your waiter or your maid. Those are the two big ones, okay? Well, a guy in Georgia, he's actually been locked up because he kind of went after his maid a little bit. So there's a hotel in Georgia that allows you to bring your pets. I love the pet-friendly hotels. They're great. You can bring your little one with you, and you can have a good time. Well, what happens when the little one's got to go?
It's going to go.
It's going to go. That's what they do. So the little one went right in the middle of the hotel room. Well, the guy picked it up, put it in a bag, and then set it outside like you would his dishes.
Breakfast in bed.
Right.
Only, in this case, something else in the bag.
Here you go. Puts it outside. Well, the maid came by and knocked on the door and says, yeah, no, we don't clean that up. And he says, excuse me, you're the help. Yes, you do. And that didn't go over very well. She started screaming, threatened to call the manager. So the guy went over and shoved her.
Mistake number three.
Yes, exactly. The manager came over, kicked him out of the hotel. Guy was arrested, and the dog is now in a boarding house.
Oh, see, the dog ultimately is the victim here.
Yeah, so don't ever do that.
Go find a garbage can or stick it on someone's porch and light it on fire. Knock on the door and run away.
Yes.
There's always a use for that bag. Chris, thank you very much for that. You know, hey, have you guys heard the all the Weird Al music that's out?
I have, yeah.
Is that possibly the best work he's ever done?
He's still around?
He is still around, and he put out 8 parody songs in 8 days. And just let's listen to a quick one.
And that's why I think it's a good time to learn some grammar. What? Now did I stammer? Work on that grammar. You should know it. It's look for its viewer.
Word crimes, right?
It's great.
It's just beautiful because people just don't know how to speak or write anymore, especially in social media.
It's a fun video.
And thank you, second grade teachers, for not teaching grammar anymore. What has happened to us? Anyway, we were talking about Weird Al, Chris, and this is something, huh?
Well, it's impressive what he's doing. It's impressive that he released his first album in 1983, which is 30 years ago, 31 years ago now, and the guy is still relevant. Not only that, get this. His record is right now tied for being the number one record on Billboard. He's tied with Jason He's tied neck and neck with Jason Mraz right now for the top spot. This would be his first number one album ever.
No, it wasn't Fat number one? Like the takeoff of the Michael Jackson Bad?
Eat It?
Yeah. That wasn't number one?
There was not. No, this would be his first number one album.
It's album. All 8
album.
Songs.
Yeah, right.
Good for
album.
Him.
Right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Said he was just hoping to get to number 8.
Well, what I don't understand is these are all readily available, and you could just listen to them online, but then you could buy them on iTunes or Amazon or whatever it is. So he's going to have to go out and tour. And he's getting
on, how cool would that be?
He's getting on in age there a little bit. But the videos are all great. So many of them have beautiful animation.
Yeah.
And there's one that has a Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Nash, maybe there's Young in there, I'm not sure, influence. And every phrase in the song is one of those corporate buzzword phrases.
Yeah, it's like some sort of business moniker.
How fun.
It's hilarious. It's
how
so that,
fun.
That little dichotomy there between CSN and the business speak. Anyway, hey, you ever watch that show on TV, Naked and Afraid? I know you've dipped into it. It's pretty brutal what those folks go through to survive for 20 or so days, 21 days, and they have nothing, absolutely nothing, no clothing. They just get to hold a stick and see if they could survive. Up next, you'll hear from some of the contestants about that experience right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. We're back here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. At As We See It Show, that's our Twitter handle. Discovery Channel has a show. It's kind of a guilty pleasure for a lot of people, myself included. Huge success. You've probably seen at least one episode because you thought you were going to get a sneak peek at some naked people, but you found out what it's all about. It's a reality show called Naked and Afraid. And our showbiz gal on the go is Gail Murphy. She's here in the studio with us. Gail, for yes. folks who haven't seen the show, just give us a thumbnail concept.
Well, first of all, Discovery is very specific in calling it a family show. Yeah. It's their Adam and Eve secret sauce. They call it survival programming. And it's working. It's not about sex, but there's a lot of tush and a lot of pixelation. So here's what happens. Two strangers, a man and a woman, are stranded in the middle of nowhere, exposed to some of the world's most extreme environments, and they're both buck naked. Now, I am no survivalist, but at the TV Critics Association press tour, which is currently going on here in L.A., I just decided I was going to be on your show. I had to know more. I want to know for myself what is so cool about 21 Days of Nakedness on television.
Yeah, and I've watched the show.
You just said it.
I've got to say, I'm the fan. So talk about the challenges that the contestants face.
Well, first of all, they're survivalists. It's what they do, and that's what they're vetted for, and that's what the questionnaire is all about. So they have no food. They have to know how to get their own food. There's no water. They have to know how to find it. They have no clothes. They have a camera crew that is following them everywhere, and they have to stay alive for 3 weeks naked. Hello. There you go. Anyway, this
survival show on television.
Yeah, really. This survival programming, I'm telling you, has pulled in over 4 million viewers so far and counting. It is a really ratings cha-ching for Discovery.
Right. Okay.
How do the people look? Are they physically fit? They must be to be survivalists, right?
Well, yeah, they are. Yeah. They are. And we were just talking about this earlier, how one of the girls, according to Phil, was like a real Malibu Barbie. So you'll have to take that up with him.
But a survivalist.
Yeah. Well, she survived you.
She could catch a fish with a stick.
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah. And she started some fire. She did all those
now
types of things.
Now, that's a woman to take home to mom.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or to dad, yeah. for that matter.
Yeah. Or something.
But there's no cash prize at the end of this thing, is there?
Can you believe that?
Why do they do it?
Well, I don't know why someone would volunteer to do something like that with no paycheck at the end.
They have to be getting paid somehow.
Or maybe, I was just going to say, maybe there's some sort of grander payback we're not getting or we're not seeing.
Well, a lot of the contestants have schools in their home states. They have the survivalist schools. So if you're on the show, then you can take that and say, look how great I did on the show, and then use that for your own marketing.
Did you
purposes.
Talk to any of these people?
I sure did. And here is contestant Jason Bullard.
I think we all prepared before we're going. The whole naked thing is not something you would normally do, but it does add to the difficulty level of the challenge. And that is one of the things that was accomplishment.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah. So it's just if you accomplish it and you get through the 21 days. Now, it's not a 21-day long show. It's like it's a half an hour, right? Every
right.
episode?
Yeah.
22 minutes, yeah.
22 minutes.
Yeah.
So they contract the whole thing and they pull the best bits and they get the nice storylines
yeah,
out of
they build a shelter. They kill for food. They're outdoors. The sun is shining. And they were telling me that in the morning they come and wake them up and all of their muscles hurt from freezing, all shivering, freezing all night
yeah,
long.
Yeah, and you know, after a while, when you don't eat, then your body starts eating your muscles to get the nutrients in.
Well,
yeah.
It makes you think maybe there was a strategy going into it. So I talked to Justin's co-survivalist, Danny. She had a strategy.
I walked around barefoot for months before I went out. I did a lot of physical preparation. I gained some weight before I went out. I gained about 10 pounds. Went to the tanning booth so that I wouldn't get sunburnt when I got out there. But most of all, I think I did more mental prep before I went out.
She went to the tanning booth because no, what woman wants tan lines?
I know.
Smart. She was prepping herself for the sunlight.
That's exactly right. She said she went through every worst case scenario she could think of because she's a survivalist to begin with.
Right. Well, dying is one of them.
Yeah. One would think.
But they have to find all these – they have to figure out some way to eat something. And it seems to me like they drop these people in places where it's not all that easy to find something to eat.
Well, that's why they're naked so they can't hide any food. You can't just pull out a goodie bar and eat it. Look what I just found.
There's a couple stash pots.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Okay.
So how about Discovery? What does Discovery think about this? Is this going to turn into a franchise? Are they going to spin off other shows? I mean, what do they reveal about the show?
Well, first of all, it's not as easy as it looks, Phil.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
They're committed that all the locations are success ready going into it before they even shoot a frame. That the location actually has water, food, and materials for creating shelter.
Ah, all right. So,
yeah.
In other words,
they can take their skills and actually go out there and be the Johnny Appleseed.
But then
you
watch it and they say, day 18 and still nothing to eat.
That is the most highly paid voiceover guy in this city.
Yeah, and he sounds just like me. Why
isn't it Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's Mike Rowe.
That guy gets all the work.
He does get all the work, especially for Discovery. He does everything for them.
Yeah, but that's all he has to say. I mean, the next episode will be day 16. Still, nothing to eat.
And then they chop it down. They just go, okay, I need you to say day one,
yeah.
day two, day three, right. day four, and then we'll just push it together.
Yeah. So you watch that, you automatically get afraid, and then you get naked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. Well, you don't have to watch it naked.
Yeah.
Is there any hooking up between the male and female contestants?
Oh, my God. How could you even
Seems
ask
Seems like a
me
relevant
that?
Question. You stick a bunch of naked attractive yeah. males and females together, something frisky's going to happen.
But they're afraid. So I think that
they're too afraid.
So then they're clinging
on
to each other
that
out
trumps,
of fear.
Trumps the yeah. urge.
And
for
cold.
Yeah.
You said it was cold.
Body heat to
Why
warm
not?
You up.
Freezing cold. You know, these guys appeared so normal, but it's reality TV. So I did get to ask my specialized Gail Murphy question.
In the back, and this is for the survivors, so it was okay to be naked and it was okay to be afraid. What was the most messed up thing that you had to do?
Well, I bit the head off a lizard. That was pretty messed up, and that was, I didn't know I was going to do that going in.
Yeah, I bet. They said they wanted to eat the crew, but there you go. So if you want to see more of Danny and Justin,
yeah.
you can see them on Discovery, Naked and Afraid.
All right. Very good. Gail Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Gail, G-A-Y-L.
No E.
No E.
No E.
No.
I was too afraid.
It's unnecessary.
And I was naked.
They deserve some kind of an award.
Aye, aye, aye.
Thank you, Gail. We'll talk to you again sometime. Jay, speaking of awards... This came out of the blue for somebody.
Yeah, remember that Slender Man stabbing out in Wisconsin? This is maybe a month and a half ago or so. Two girls took their friend out into the woods, stabbed her 19 times. Girl was able to pull herself out and make it to the road, flag down some help. She actually survived. Well, apparently, the other day, somebody anonymously sent her a purple heart with a note reading just one sentence, said, "The only heart I could find, stay strong."
Wow. How about that?
Just pretty awesome. The parents said they can't thank the person enough. It really lifted her spirits after they explained the significance of the Purple Heart to her. And so we wish her all the best.
We certainly do. Hey, and we love your comments. Email us feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, @AsWeSeeItShow, Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.